Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines in all the scenes. We put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam art. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from bad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
For your transgression, you receive the atomic boot to the ass.
Good.
Oh, boy. That sounded bad.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Ha ha!
Shazoo's the turtle! she fills the terrible and the knights of the round table.
Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop. Hey, She's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and he's taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beech nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama.
charming little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, it's old King Shazuz the Terrible. I rule with an iron fist, don't you forget it. Anyway, before I get started, I'd like to put a special shout out there for my friends Cultus and Dame Shannon and her sister Ange. We had the pleasure of having them over this weekend for a visit, and we had a lot of fun, and we got some really cool videos of some Tesla coil breakouts and stuff like that, and I can't wait to get those videos up for you all to see and share with and stuff, and I want to wish them a safe journey on the way home and that kind of stuff. So at 9 o'clock, I'm passing the crown of King Shaziz over to Dieden so that I can go say my goodbyes to him and all that. And you know how it goes. Emotional when your friends are peeling out. But anyway, this world is kind of upside down. You know, it's so much going on. And it's just my belief that the mainstream media out there, they're feeling the pressure of the alternative media. Heck, they're actually getting to a point where they're starting to run out of things to report on. You know, they can't really fake news anymore, because with the alternative media and all the researchers out there, we always catch them in their lies. Well, you know, I would think that if I was a mainstream media personality or whatever, I wouldn't want to be telling all these lies. I'd be wanting to do like they did back in the old days with real reporting, investigative journalism that actually made a difference in the world. You know, it kept the government elite types on their toes. You know, they couldn't just get by with stuff. But nowadays we see all kinds of stuff that they get by with, and you know, half the time I believe that most of the news, because of the modern technology that we got, are spoon-fed, so to speak, as if you're interested in specific subjects, or there's specific subjects that pertain to you. And I know you've seen it on Google. You know, you can go type something in on Google, and my gosh, it'll start not only spell checking you, but have all kinds of examples of what you were looking for before you ever even get the full word out. And so, you know, with that said, with the digital media technologies today and the capabilities of tracking your likes and your dislikes and all your comments on the internet and kind of stuff, you should try it sometime. Just go out and surf the web and then go look and see how much of that stuff that you see whenever you kick your satellite or your cable TV on. Yeah, I know it sounds kind of conspiratorial and kind of crazy, but you would be surprised at what's going on in this world if you really opened your eyes and stepped outside the box for a moment, just long enough to take a peek. I actually did a video quite some time back warning about whenever they did the switch from analog to digital video, that you really had to be careful about what you see on TV, because it's kind of hard to distinguish between fact and fiction when you have the capabilities of actually doing all kinds of digital manipulation. And so, you know, they could say, you know, something really terrible happened down there. You know, everybody send your money to save these people from this particular cause. And it just might not be true. It might be somebody on the other side filling up a pretty fat piggy bank. Now, I hate to think the worst of anybody, because, you know, everybody out there who knows old King Shaziz the Terrible, you know, I got a soft spot for people. I love people all over the world. I feel like these are my brothers and sisters from all nations, all colors, all backgrounds, you know, all different belief systems. And one of the most important aspects of the Knights of the Round Table is the fact that we can come together as a family around this table and, you know, speak our minds and talk about new ideas and technologies and problems that need to be addressed in the world. that to me is no small task. That to me is a major accomplishment, not just for me, but for everybody out there, all the listeners, all the Knights of the Round Table, and all the alternative energy researchers. Because now we have not only the opportunity to meet folks we'd otherwise not had the opportunity to meet, but we have the opportunity to do research and share resources amongst each other, like a world community. You know, I'm not talking about us all coming under some umbrella of some corporate, kingship in the world, one world government type deal. I'm talking about we the people just being a family like we always do, even underneath the system that we find ourselves entwined in. You know, the system out there we know has become so large and corrupt that it just doesn't seem to make any difference what you do or say, or, you know, how many people you can gather to march, you know. The jackbooted thugs out there that call themselves police officers that don't abide by their oaths of office anymore. They just simply walk around with a heavy badge and a big head and believe themselves to be next to God. Well, you know, that's not what they swore the oath to do. And so with that said, you know, they're out there pepper spraying peaceful protesters and, you know, beating people up, taking people to jail. You know, I don't believe that that's what our Creator had intended on us to do for one another. I believe that our Creator had put us down here with this beautiful gift called the Earth. You know, it's an amazing, beautiful piece of machinery. It's an electromagnetic generator of epic proportions. It's a self-contained biosphere with, just so much vast beauty and resources. And each and every one of us should be able to stand in any nation, in any land, and be able to call that our home with our family. And you know, when you rest your head, you're at home, no matter where you're at. You know, but we got rules and laws and regulations that keep a man's man from being able to immigrate from one place to another. And some folks, they go or under the fence. Some folks go over the fence. And some folks come through and they try to do it legally, you know, by the rule book. And those folks seem to get the hardest time of it. You know, and even the folks coming under the fence, over the fence, to any nation, whether it be Canada or America or Russia or China, if it was up to me, I know you all probably heard the song Signs out there. It's a really good song, but it really makes a lot of sense. You know, what gives anybody a right to put up a fence to keep anyone out or nature in? You know, this is God's land, and we're kind of borrowing it. You know, we're supposed to be the caretakers of our brothers and sisters around the globe, and we're supposed to be taking care of one another. We're supposed to be sharing our resources and doing right. But if you look out there in the world, everyone is pretty much walking around in their little bubble, and they got their little vision of what life should be like. And when it doesn't pan out exactly the way, you know, they get depressed. Sometimes become worst case scenario suicidal, and it's just terrible. But you know, we've got to look past all the bad things going on in this world. We've got to look past all the negativity. For first off, we don't know what all is real and what all ain't real. It's kind of like here recently, I've kind of got the feeling that the alternative media has switched places with the mainstream media. Such as, back in the day, mainstream media, they're putting out all kinds of negativity after negativity. And it's depressing the world, you know. It's making people think that the whole world's out to get them. And so, when the alternative media started getting tired of the lies and the corruption and the depression, they came in onto the scene and they began to start telling the truth, start pointing it out with video and documentation, evidence, and research. Now the mainstream media, since they've run out of things to lie about and they can't seem to get by with anything, are starting to do all kinds of stupid little deals about insignificant things going on in the world. Such as early this morning, they were talking about brunch, and then they were also talking about, you know, putting helmets on pedestrians because you might go outside and you might fall down and hit your head and become a traumatic brain injury that would burden the society and yourself and your family. So, you know, like the nanny state basically points out is, you know, you got to have mama and papa hold your hand through life, and you got to have somebody looking over you at all times. So there's cameras on every single corner out there, on every single street, all over the United States and all over the world. There's cameras. There's somebody behind the camera watching you at every turn. You've got digital equipment and audio equipment all over, big massive complexes all over the world, under secret NSAs and different government agencies that are like Homeland Security to actually protect you from possible terrorism. So under the guise of protecting you and keeping you safe and watching over you, being nanny, your phone calls, your emails, every bit of correspondence that you make between one another across the international boundaries or even within your own borders are being watched and listened to. To me, you know, it's going to come a time, you know, when is enough enough? When is too much too much? When does it actually reach the level where they've went completely overboard? I think we've surpassed that as far as I'm concerned, because freedom is a word that people throw around so easily, but they don't really understand what stands behind freedom. Sovereignty, however you want to say it. Freedom, sovereignty, being your own individual. You know, it's a word that's used that a lot of people don't seem to really grasp what's behind it. You know, I believe it was Thomas Jefferson. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but he said the price to freedom is eternal vigilance, which means that you need to keep your eye out what's going on. And in the same sense, if you're in the alternative media, you should be way more held accountable than even the mainstream media, because the reason why you got into alternative media was not to go out there and fearmonger and make a big name for yourself and make you rich and all that kind of stuff. You got in there because at one point in time your heart was in the place where you was either in fear for your nation and fear for your family and fear for yourself or freedom or whatever. So with that comes a lot of responsibility. You know, you don't build up this giant ego and, you know, I call myself King Shaziz the Terrible, you know. Well, we all know that's a spoof. I would never want to be king. You know, if I was king, the world would be different. But it's not. And I won't be king. But the fact of the matter is, I don't have a big head. I've got a big heart, because I know that that heart and that love that's within that heart is the only tool that we have to fight against the evils of the world. And we have a lot of brilliant people that come to the table here at the Knights of the Round Table. We have a lot of wonderful guests. We have a lot of wonderful people in the chat room, and a lot of wonderful people riding around in their cars listening to us. And, you know, just... we're saying what needs to be said. We're not saying what needs to be said in order to please them. We are saying what needs to be said. Sometimes it's not really, you know, pleasant to hear some of the things that need to be said. But in order to make this world a better place, it's going to require not just us getting up off the couch and doing a show such as the Knights of the Round Table, but it's going to take every single individual out there, every single adult that is capable of using a cell phone or putting some words down on paper or using the power of the spoken word to go out there and tell the people of all nations that there is a better way. There's a better way to make our world a better place. I don't believe that our Creator put us down here just to fail. I don't believe that our Creator made anything that was trash. I don't believe that the majority of the people out there are not good people. I believe that everybody has the capability, due to free will, to choose between good and evil, to decide whether or not they're going to do right or wrong. So with that said, the responsibility lies on you as an individual, throwing that positive pebble into the pond, because every action that you do, every word that comes out of your mouth, everything that you put down on paper or out there to the public has consequences. You're either going to make somebody angry or you're going to lift somebody's spirit up to the highest points of heaven and make this world a better place. This is the dream that we believe in. Those of us who are in alternative energy, you come on the Mad Science Show and even on the Knights of the Round Table, and we talk about free energy devices and such. Our ultimate goal is to try to get everyone out from underneath the thumb of the oppressing power companies of the world. They're making millions of dollars off of us, charging us fees and taxes, and, you know, it just goes on and on. When the energy that we're surrounded by is my belief, it belongs to all of us. It belongs to our Creator most of all. You know, we're just here to be the caretakers. That's it. You don't take your house with you. You don't take your car with you. You don't take your gold or your silver or any of that stuff with you. What you take with you are the actions of your life, the decisions that you made. You take that towards a final judgment of some sort, in my belief. And so, you know, what do you want to do with your life? Do you want to spend it being depressed because this specific little time and space just didn't go as well as you planned? Or do you want to use the power that is within you to actually create a better world for yourself and all those around you? It's a good feeling to know that you lifted somebody's spirit. It's a good feeling to know that you just made a new friend, somebody that will stand the test of time. Friends aren't those friends that are around whenever you got money and they have fun with you and everything and all's well and good. And suddenly, you know, when the money runs out, the friends run out with the money. Friends are those who are there during the worst of times. Friends are those who are there and are willing to listen to you cry. So they're willing to listen to you complain, and they try to set you back on the right track. Friends are those guys and gals like here on the Knights of the Round Table that when they know that somebody's in the midst of traveling, that they give a shout out and some prayers and a concern until the person gets to the other side, you know, because we know it's a dangerous world as far as driving down the road because you got knuckleheads not paying attention to what they're doing. And at any given moment, any one of us could be yanked from this earth. You know, that's kind of a scary thing, but it's not something we dwell on. But it is a possibility that you never know when the guy sitting next to you, the gal, the friend that you just met and you spent all this time getting to know them and that kind of stuff are just suddenly not there no more. You know, there's a saying out there, you never know what you got until you lose it. And that's a really important saying, because what we have here before our very eyes is an amazing opportunity via all these networks. It's an amazing gateway to bring people from all nations together under one voice and be the people that we were meant to be. Us, you know, each and every one of us is one individual that can't be replicated. No matter how hard you try with science, you know, you just can't duplicate anybody. It's just not the same. There's always some difference. So you, the individual, are a very important piece of that puzzle that makes this machinery that we call humanity work. It's a wonderful world, folks. And when you look out there and you see all the things going on in the world, you should make that world wonderful for everybody. That little baby on the other side of the world that needs food, get that baby some food. That homeless man that needs some shelter, get that homeless man some shelter. Get that single mom out there with all them kids, get that mom some help. Take her over some groceries. Go out there and mow her lawn. I mean, she's changing diapers and doing dishes and trying to feed the babies and ship the kids off to school, and she's just overwhelmed. Give that mama a chance to be a mama. Give that mama a chance to do her work with some lesser burden, you know. Help your wives, help your brothers, your sisters, your mom, your dad. Help one another. Help your neighbor, for Pete's sake. That is the power that is within you. And it doesn't cost nothing to go over there and rake some leaves up for your neighbor. It doesn't cost nothing to put some love out of your heart into somebody else's heart. Put a smile on somebody's face. So as little finances as you might have and as little resources that you might have at your disposal that you can share with the world, it doesn't make you powerless by any stretch of the imagination. Because what you have within you is more valuable and more powerful than anything that you can possibly imagine. Like I said a million times, you can either take your words and you can bring somebody down to the darkest depths of the abyss of hell, or you can raise them up to the highest points of heaven to touch the stars. This is our dream here at the Knights of the Round Table and all these other networks. If it wasn't our dream, we wouldn't be here together. I believe that all of these like minds have gravitated around in this time and this space for a purpose. And I believe it's a divine purpose. And I believe that if we keep this ball rolling, we have the opportunity to create a better world for all of humanity. To end the wars and end the suffering, end the stupidity. But it's going to take leading by example for that knucklehead down the road that just doesn't seem to get it yet. He'll grow up eventually. You keep on being who you are in front of that person. Not trying to be that person to match that person in order to get that person to like you or anything like that. Just be you. Stick firm with your beliefs. And don't spread lies and propaganda. And don't try to fear monger them into nothing. Just try to be you and educate that individual how good your life is for you. This is the power that you have. The gift that you got within inside you, the being that is you, is a special, a unique individual. There's none other like you. So take that power that is within you and create that better world that you want. When you create it for yourself, you create it for the world. And so, with all that said, I want to welcome all the Knights of the Round Table. And I want to give them an opportunity to say what's on their minds, on their hearts. Because that's what it's all about. This is our table. It's not old King Shaziz the Terrible. This isn't about one person. This isn't about one network or 10 networks. This is about the world. This is about the stepping stones of love that pave the walkway for the future generations of all mankind. This is our time to either stand up and be the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of a wonderful future, or be the losers that just let it all go. We don't have to stand for tyranny, but we all do have to stand against it. So what do you guys think there, Dieden? Who all we got in the chat there?
Looks like Mitko and Dublin and Tom. Well, I think those are beautiful words, and I think it's always a great person who looks within and asks the questions why, and asks the questions who am I, to understand themselves, and then spreads that part of them that they've discovered to the rest of the world. You know, that's a part of being, you know, your unique you, like you said.
Yeah, you got to specifically be you, because, like I said, if you're not strong, if you're not strong enough to take care of yourself, how are you going to be strong enough to take care of your family, you know? You got to take care of you first. And I'm not saying that is a selfish thing, but you got to look within your soul. You got to clean your own soul before you can go out and clean the world.
Yep.
And you're not a bad person because you made stupid mistakes. You were in a growth period. You were learning. Life is a learning experience of epic proportions. And all the learning that you've done and all the bad things that's happened to you in your lifetime are what made you who you are today. And I have, obviously, because you hear all the things that I say, I have had a rough life. I have seen a lot of things. I've done a lot of damage to myself and made a lot of mistakes in the past. But there was a point when I come to the time and realization that none of what I did was anything of benefit to anything for anybody in the future. And looking back to see all the veterans and all the cooks and the doctors and everybody who did everything that took care of me throughout my entire life, What do I owe those people? Well, personally, I don't owe those people anything. But what I do owe those people is to do what they did for me for the future of all humanity. Because those people did all the things that they did for me out of concern for me. They didn't do it because they wanted me to pay them money. I mean, outside of going to a business, you know. But it's even the person cooking your food at the restaurant. They're an individual. They have life. They have a love. They have a family. They have dreams and aspirations just like you do. And they took the time out of their life to prepare your food, even though it was to earn a living. It was still their time. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So all who's those folks.
Who's to say we need to earn a living, though? I mean, we're already alive. So even that in itself is like...
Well, you understand what I'm saying, though. I mean, if I had my way, we'd live in a perfect world. I mean, we wouldn't have to want for nothing. Everybody just go out and they'd make their gardens and they'd take care of one another. They'd share ideas freely, you know, and nobody would do without. Everybody would keep their ear open to see if anybody was in need of anything, you know. That would be the perfect world in my dream. Everybody goes to the party and instead of being depressed, they're all happy, you know. It's a... it's like if you could see inside the old Shaziz's heart, everybody's hugging and everybody's having a good time, and it's like the perfect utopia, heaven on earth, so to speak. I know that's a stretch, but if you don't reach for the stars, I mean, if you see the star that you want in the sky and if you don't at least reach out and try to touch that star, you ain't going to succeed. So I'm going to shoot over the hill and hope that I land on top of the hill. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go for the best, and whatever I get is a plus. If I can make this world a better place to even a quarter of the utopian dream in my brain, then it's all worthwhile. Because as I look into the future and I see the future of all humanity on the path that we are on a straight road to sheer destruction, the likes of which no man in history ever should have to, no man or woman should ever have to endure. I see this coming down the road. And in order for my grandchildren to not have to go through that terror, I want to try to steer this boat in the other direction. So it's like, first you see an old crazy Shaziz jump up there and grab the steering wheel on the bus that was getting ready to go over the cliff because either the bus driver was on drugs or he's having a heart attack, and I saw us going over the cliff, so I'm hanging on to the steering wheel, and then my buddy Dieden jumps up there and he's holding on too, and then Tom's up there, he's trying to keep the passengers calm and saying, we got this, we're all good, don't nobody panic. You know what I mean?
Hey, no, I hear you, Shaziz.
Mitko's out there, he's got his foot on the brake, and Dublin, he's trying to flash the lights to warn people ahead of time, we're on the wrong side of the road, and, you know, we're all together here at this table, and we're doing the same thing for the same cause, because you love your family and your children just like I love mine. Yeah. And by God, if we don't do it now, the world that they're going to end up with, the inheritance from all of us, you know, you can build up the best looking piece of property you've had in your life. I'm trying to do that right here where I'm at so that I can pass that on down to my children so they'll always have a sanctuary that they can come to with food and shelter.
And but, power.
Yeah. But if I, lights, definitely. But if I build all this up and I don't pay attention to anything that's going on in the world and I don't speak out against corruption and stupidity and try to steer the world into a different direction, then all of what I built will either get stolen away from them or be destroyed by, you know, the whole World War III scenario, you know? But it takes the voices of all people from all nations. Each and every individual is that one missing gear, that one piece of the puzzle that we all keep talking about when we're doing alternative energy. You know what I mean?
Yep. Everybody's got a part.
Yeah, exactly. My friend Tom, you're over there in Canada, ain't you?
Yep, up here, Kingston, Ontario. Pretty much right on, almost, I don't know if it'd be the tip, but right on Lake Ontario here. The waterfront's actually, while the houses weren't in front of the house, I could actually look right across the hill and see it.
Well, what do you think about what I'm talking about?
Oh, you actually got my brain, it's kind of, speechless. It's very touching what you're saying there, Shaz. That's pretty much where it is, and I couldn't even begin to think about anything to add to that.
Well, just know, brother, it comes from the heart, and it's within each and every one of us. I know that your heart says the same thing. You see it, you know. You see, look out into the world. You wouldn't want to see anybody starving or doing without. Heck, you'd probably give the shirt off your back in the coldest day of winter just to make sure that somebody else could be warm. That's the kind of heart you are. Otherwise, you wouldn't be standing there, you know?
I go for a little walk downtown every night because my mom works down there. And the odd time, you know, you get them people that are sitting on the side of the road. I know there's some of them there that you can just tell by looking at them. They're not really in the need for help. They're just there trying to get money for their habits or whatever, but you get the odd one there. If I feel that they're legitimately in need, whatever change I have in my pocket, I'll give that to them, or I'll help them out with a couple of cigarettes if I have them and stuff like that. But
you know what I do, brother? When I see those folks, the thought may cross my mind, it may be for beer, it may be for drugs, it may be for food, it may be for whatever, but I don't even take the time to even judge or even do that. I'll give them the money, even if they're going to go out there. But the last thing that they're going to hear me say is that I'm going to tell them, you say, you just know that somebody out there in this world loves you, brother or sister, whichever the case may be. And that's all I'm saying to them. Because
at the very least, I'll sit there and I'll have a little 5-minute conversation with them at all, just to try and, you know, maybe lift their spirits or whatever you can do.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of power that you got. You know, you don't have to be a wealthy man in order to uplift somebody. And I tell you what, the best meal that I ever had in my entire life was at the poorest family that I ever knew. I mean, they made some fried potatoes, and they didn't have much, but they were willing to share it with a total stranger just to try to help me out. And the house, you wouldn't believe this house. It was smaller than my lab. I mean, it was like a one bedroom with the one bathroom and one kitchen, and that was it. That was the whole house. The kitchen was the living room. It was just a little bitty, like a shed, more or less. And what they had, they were willing to share with somebody else. That, to me, is the best example of true love that you can give, you know.
Usually the poorest people are the one to give away stuff because they know what's the feeling of being poor.
You've seen it before in your life, haven't you, Mikko?
Well, I mean, I better not talk about it. I mean,
well, yeah, it's fine.
I don't love talking about it.
I understand that. But all of us, every single one of us, have seen things in our lives that some of which no man or woman should ever even have to see or hear. You know, there's some things going on in this world that are just so beyond what we think is even right, wrong, or reality, or anything. That it's just, to me, you know, it will take you down the darkest abyss if you really knew the suffering that goes on around in this world. And we got to fix it. And we got to call out to all nations. We got to call out to all these hearts that are of like mind. And we got to say, look, you know, I'm not in your neighborhood, but if I got something that you need, just holler. You know, I'll post it over to you or whatever. We'll figure some way to make this right by those individuals. I don't have to know their name. I don't have to know what it is what problem they got outside of the fact that they need help. And if
then you have all these organizations that take advantage of that. Like you see it on TV all the time. They all want you to send a dollar a day over there, but then you think about it, like our government will take their cut out of that, whichever
company or organization sending it over, they got to take their cut out of that, and then their government over there takes their cut out of that. By the time the actual individuals get it, it works out to, like, it's not even worth it. It doesn't actually help, but, you know, they'll still sit there. And what I was thinking, like, you know, why do you guys all have to take your cut out of that? Everybody else is donating this money, but you guys all got to take it.
Yeah, and don't those folks have an address? Everyone out there in this world, don't they have an address? Mail it directly to their house. You know?
Yeah, but you'll never be able to get that just because of those organizations. They got to step in there and be that middleman all the time.
Well, we don't need the middleman. We need, like, if MIPCO has a neighbor that needs some sort of assistance, we don't even ask the neighbor for permission. We just ship it over to them.
Yeah.
You know, we don't tell nobody, no government officials. We just say, hey, here's your birthday card. And inside the birthday card is either some funds or, you know, free energy device plans or, you know. You see where I'm coming from? I mean, it's kind of like Dublin coined the phrase guerrilla charity, man. And I love Dublin to pieces for that because that's great. You know, you see somebody and they're in need, you run over there, you hand them a sandwich, and you run off, and they're like, who was that masked man that just ran by, you know? This is a good sandwich.
Yeah, but it was more than that. It's because they're making it illegal now to feed people.
Oh, yeah.
But if you think of America, if you're caught sending out a free sandwich or anything like that, you're going to get fined or thrown in jail. There was a case there last week. Some Christian family were handing out food to the local guys on the street. And they're now being fined a few hundred dollars, and as a group, fined several thousand dollars for merely giving free food to homeless. So that's why I coined the term guerrilla charity, because we're going to basically find that that's the only way we can help each other is through the guerrilla mode. You know,
yeah.
We won't be allowed to do it on
stage. Just put your Batman or Robin suit on and run past them and hand them a bag of groceries and run off, man, before the man sees you. Like, hey,
well, it's also when 90% of the money we give to these big charities is used to buy arms and weapons to kill the people that we're trying to help.
Yeah.
So solidarity would be where, say, there's an earthquake in Haiti. Rather than giving your money to the Red Cross or to whatever big UN or UNICEF, you find some local guy from Haiti in your area and you give him the money and say, send it to your village.
Yep.
And then you bypass all that. Now, the worst that can happen is he might spend the money, but he's not going to buy any guns to kill people with. So there's no risk that your money will be used to kill the people you're trying to help.
I also like the
radar.
I also like the guerrilla gardening. You know, when you're walking down the street, take you a pocket full of vegetable seeds or something like that, and pitch them off over in the ditch. You know, on this direction and on that side of the road, and back in the field. Just start growing food and stuff everywhere. Food and vegetables popping up all over the place. Could you imagine what it'd be like if you was a homeless person and you walked down the road and you're suddenly confronted with this huge buffet of fruits and vegetables all over the place? I mean, it's a miracle, man.
Guerrilla gardening is brilliant also. But that's what we're moving into. We're moving into a world where we're going to have to be doing all sorts of guerrilla activity just to not be caught for doing something that would be classed as illegal. You know, like in Europe now, the possession of certain types of seeds, plant seeds, will cause you problems. Because now they've made another EU law. It's the reverse logic. If it isn't stated that you have permission to do something, it's assumed that you don't have permission. So what they've done now is they've said there are 3,000 lists of seeds that are licensed to be sold in the EU.
Man.
The selling of any other type of seed would be illegal. So, needless to say, to get the license to sell a certain type of seed costs quite a bit of money to get it passed through all the rigmarole.
Well, we don't.
So, a lot of heirloom seeds, like old type wheat or whatever, that farmers would not be interested in using because of low yields, but your gardener would love to use. they will be banned simply because they haven't got a license.
We don't sell them. We just take and get a pocket full of them, go for our nature walk down the hiking trail, you know, and when ain't nobody looking, a dash of tomato seeds over here, some cabbage and some carrots or whatever over there, you know, and before too long, you're walking down the road and there's a garden on every side of the road, man, and they won't be able to keep up with billions of people throwing seeds in every direction. It's kind of like that old Johnny Appleseed, you know, he went around and he's throwing apples trees everywhere, so there's apples all over the place. So, you know, this is what I'm talking about. Don't ask for permission. Just throw a garden out there somewhere for somebody, you know. If you know there's a homeless folk living underneath a bridge or whatever, and you can help them out, do that. And while they're over there sleeping in their box or whatever, if you can't help them out, throw some seeds down there so that one day they wake up and there's a garden right next to them with some flowers and vegetables. What do you think?
I gotta go for it. On all fronts, don't ask for permission, because if the donor refuses permission, so it's not worth asking. If the idea pops in your head, do it. If you've got the resources, particularly if you've got a bucket load of seeds or you got a bucket load of food or whatever it is, just do it. And you know, but do it in guerrilla mode is better than, you know, then that way they can't get back at you. But also, phone up on sovereignty, where basically we don't consent. You know, the big message is to learn the idea of I do not consent.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, it's going to be very important for Americans particularly, because they're bringing in these new laws on what's called sustainable housing. So this guy will knock on your door and say, I've got to check your house and see that it conforms to whatever code. And basically, you can say to him, you know, take a hike. I do not consent. It's because most people will open their door, let the guy in, and then they've now made the contract. And he can now say, well, your house doesn't conform to the insulation. You don't have enough insulation, and if you want to continue to live in your house, you have to have your house insulated to this standard, and it might cost, say, $30,000. And the government will loan you $30,000.
Oh, sure.
When you haven't got a job, and you can't pay the $30,000, you lose your house. So they're boxing you in. So just do not consent. End of story. I do not consent. They die.
Hey, Dieden, you ready to take over for a few?
Sure. I'll do my best.
All right, well, you got the table, brother. I'm going to go over and say my goodbyes to my buddy Shannon and Cultus and Shannon's sister, Ange. Wonderful people, and they're going to be on their way back to Indiana, and I got to go over and give them a hug, tell them I love them, and be safe and all that kind of stuff.
All right, well, tell them we send love and safe journeys.
Cool. You got the wheel, brother.
All right. Yeah, it's almost it's kind of like a control factor for many governments to you know, want to manipulate people, and that's, you know, something that's kind of been bred into us.
No, well, you see, it's more than control. It's you have to understand that it's programmed. The United Nations Agenda 21. They want to control how many glasses of water you drink each day, how much fluid you eat each day. And they want to control how many gallons of fuel you use in your car, or whether you even have the right to drive a car or not. It's kind of an ultimate green form of communism. And it's all done under the fake signs of carbon dioxide. You know, I mean, one day they'll say, you know, you use 5 kilos of carbon dioxide every day, breathing in and out, and you have to pay the carbon dioxide tax for that breathing. And if you don't pay it, well, we'll put a bullet in your head. I mean, that's where it's going. So the more we, as people in Europe or in America, or, you know, most of these countries which control through codes and statute laws, consent to this nonsense, the more we dig our own graves, so to speak. You know, I mean, that's basically where they're heading us. Once you know where the target is, they're getting you to dig your own grave. They're getting you to make yourself homeless, by slapping new codes on your house, then you can become homeless. Then they say, well, you know, you're homeless, you're not contributing to our system, you're a parasite, and you're not paying your carbon dioxide tax, and therefore you're a non-person, and we better put a bullet in your head. And thanks for
this story with the Nazis.
Well, it's, no, Nazi,
yeah,
no, it's worse than Nazi. Nazi was, there was going to be a top breed of people in Nazism. You know, there was going to be the, whatever they call it, the Aryan race. Yeah, but this is far worse than Nazi. This is going to be a very small elite of possibly, 10,000 people at maximum, who will run the world, and they will try to exterminate at least 90% of the world population, and the other 10% that's left will be made into slaves. They'll have to live in grid cities where everything is, you know, controlled. You know, there'll be microphones in every room, there'll be cameras in every room, there'll be cameras on the street, microphones on the street. You'll be microchipped. When you reach 30, they switch, flip a switch. The microchip releases the poison, and you're dead. You know, so you've outlived your useful life. You're more than 30, boom, kill you.
You become Soylent Green.
The world of planning.
They'll recycle you.
Soylent Green. Is only touching on the subject. Soylent Green, you know, is gives you an idea of where they're going, but it doesn't explain the full story.
Yeah.
And so that's why I say the only way now is do not consent. Don't consent to anything. I mean, you don't need a license in America to drive a car on the highway. You don't need a license in Europe to drive a car on the highway. We, the people, we own the roads. If you own something, nobody can tell you what you got to do. You know what I mean? And so you have to bone up on all that, you know, mandatory insurance. There's one state in America which doesn't have mandatory insurance, so if you get the number plates from that state, you can drive around without mandatory insurance. In Europe, you don't need mandatory insurance, and we just basically all got to start driving without insurance, because, you know, it's by complying to these demands from the state, we give them the authority over us. So all we have to do is remove the authority. You know, it's literally that simple. We've got to get everybody to remove the authority that they're using to suppress us, to control us, and everything else. And then they will lose the power that they have to try to exterminate us.
Exactly. Don't buy into don't buy into the system at play. Like, take your money out of the banking institutions that aren't localized or whatever, or spread spread
away. Bank local much as possible, or offline. Online with things like Bitcoin or some alternatives like that. But don't put your money in. Don't feed the beast. We've been feeding the beast. I mean, people do not understand how rich governments are. I mean, they just do not comprehend that in terms of the money that the people have, the governments have very often hundreds or thousands or a million times more money. But the governments always plead poverty, because otherwise we'd realize that they had all this money and would say, well, fuck you, I'm not paying tax.
It's interesting. The way most Western societies are is, you know, everything's based upon an illusion or a target number. And it's really just a consensus of the people or what the people can produce. And so the true value of money is simply, you know, the people's time, the time spent, and the energy they put into things.
Oh yeah, well, there's one word you have to really watch like a hawk. It's called consensus. Now, the corporation world, basically since the 60s, has been doing it, and everything else is corporation. The government is a corporation, your local town hall is a corporation, your city is a corporation, the police are a corporation, and So people will go along with the town planning meeting, and they go along, and, but what they don't realize, it's been rigged from the beginning. The consensus has been decided that this is what's going to happen. So you might get protesters that come along and say, we protest about the local whatever is being built in our area, and, you know, certain eminent architects might stand up and say, you know, it's bad, and, but they're all wasting their time, because consensus, which is really another word, as far as I can see, for corporate communism, has decided in advance that this is what's going to happen, and you're only allowed to mouth off. It's not going to happen the way you want. Or they might tweak an element here or tweak an element there, just to give the impression that, you know, they're listening to you. But in reality, it was very often decided 3, 5, 10 years in advance. This is what's going to happen. We're going to set up this and this and this, and then it's just going to be a public meeting, which is going to be a fait accompli, rubber stamp.
How I look at it is that, you know, the goal, that the final goal, instead of being, you know, progression for all the world's people, or even in a local community, instead of the progression of, you know, getting people out of poverty, or just being able to feed everybody and house everybody, food, shelter, water, the basic, you know, necessities, if that should be the top priority, and some would call that socialism, and some would call it communism, but I call it, you know, living to a standard that is. You know, like a right of all living things, it's existence, you know? It's a very...
No, you see, what I'm saying is we have a perversion of
science, like a perversion.
Yeah.
Because our economy is a science. The way that we operate as a species is a science, especially to some people who are heavily involved in the workings of those things, right? So that science is kind of become a perversion of itself. It's based upon money and material gains, no matter what it is, and it's you know, its branches go throughout all of Western society, especially, but through all of the world, you know, and the idea that in order to get something, you know, in order to spend something, you have to get something back, you know, in order to give, you must receive and make profit, and then, you know, this is mine, and those type of ideas, instead of thinking about things in the terms of this is ours, this is what can I do to give, rather than what can I do to get more back. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, well, you see, the thing is, that's very ridiculous, is you would find that most cities, if you actually analyze what's called the annual account, where they actually look at all the positive factors, like they get so much money from a toll bridge, or they get so much money for renting out property to enterprises, or they get so much money for supplying water to big factories, or, you know, all the money-making things that are always stripped out of the account when they do the budget. So when they present the budget to you, they're not telling you very often 90% of the money, or even more, that's in the system. They're only showing you like a piece of the money, and they're saying, oh god, the budget's very tight this year. it's kind of a false accounting. But if you look for the annual accounting, it highlights all of that. From that, you'll see that most cities could feed and house most everybody in their city, you know.
Absolutely.
It's housing for less than
just a matter of putting the energy there, you know, putting the time, energy, whatever, and, you know, rolling up your sleeves.
Deliberate that they've decided that X percent will be on the streets.
It's to create an idea of scarcity, so that you know, there's always a supply and demand. There's always a need for people to go to those in positions of power, or, you know,
yeah.
It's also kind of a fear. I mean, if you think about it, it plays into our ancient programming, basically, you know, the idea of fear that, you know, oh, this might happen, and oh, that might happen, so I need to, you know, so I need to go in this direction, but instead of playing into fear, if we play into kindness and, you know, acceptance and understanding and tolerance, that I think that is a far more progressive path, you know, bring about solutions and bring about awareness in a modest way, you know, Because if you go around just shattering people's houses, you know, so a lot of people build houses out of cars, and if you go around and you just swat the house of cars and the whole thing falls, you know, they're not going to take that as a progressive. That's very destructive, you know. It's not a very progressive and kind thing to do to others sometimes, so. You know.
Oh, yeah, well, the big trick is to know that essentially whenever the city says, you know, we're bankrupt or we're out of money, you know, they give you the, what we call in Ireland, the unveiled box, the poor amount. They're lying. Because when you check how much the mayor of the town is going to get for his pay and how much he's going to get for his pension and how much all the people in the corporate city system, such as your inspectors and your police officers and all those. I mean, you would be gobsmacked how much some of them are going to get when they get pensioned off. I mean, you would be gobsmacked. And then you say, well, hang on a second, what's going on here? Why are they getting all these huge pensions? I'm out there working my rear end off, and if say I got a small business and it goes belly up, well, I get nothing. And yet these guys, most of them are, to be honest with you, serving useless functions. You know, there might be inspectors of trees or, you know, some sort of nonsensical thing. And then not only is government too big, but government has been designed to be so big that it's a massive parasite. I mean, imagine a parasite's hooked onto you and it's the size of a double-decker bus or an 18-wheeler truck. That's the size of the parasite that's attached to every person in the Western world.
You know what the scary thing about that
scale.
Is, Dublin?
What?
You know what the scary thing about that is?
What?
A lot of the people these days, you know, if you could picture, you know, back in the old days, the bully that comes along and beats you up for your milk money. Nowadays,
yeah, something like that.
Nowadays, everybody's going out there paying the bully to beat them up, you know?
Yeah, it's nearly up there with that. You see, what they'll do is they'll always come along and give you two choices. They'll say, you know, we need to increase the tax to pay the police to patrol the area. You agree to it. Now, if you don't agree to it, we're going to get rid of all the police force, you know, and then there'll be chaos. So they're not saying to you, well, you know, like, we could trim down this part of the police department, which is, you know, not really doing much, you know, like people, the parking attendants or, you know, I mean, do we need parking attendants or, you know, other sections of the police force? But no, they'll give you a do or die, you know, no police or more police.
Yeah.
You see how they always do it? It's always a
extremes.
Choice, negative, positive, and they only give you two choices. Whereas we always say in the People's Internet Radio in Ireland, we always say, you refuse the two choices that you give, and you go the third option. You know, that's always how they run it. They always give you two choices. You know, this one, that one. Take it or leave it.
Terry in the chat room typed in UN Agenda 21.
That's right, UN Agenda 21.
And
you have to understand that that is the consensus.
Uh-oh, somebody's got some disturbance going on. Who is that?
I think it's Mitchell, I think, is having problems. Try again, Mitchell.
Yeah, no.
Try again, Mitchell.
There you go.
Yeah, okay.
When
speak up, Mikko.
Go ahead, Mikko.
No, I didn't say anything.
Yeah,
oh,
I think
okay.
It was fine. I think it was Dublin dropping out.
All right. Well, anyway, yeah.
All right.
When you look at that UN Agenda 21, everybody, you know, out there outside, you know, in the world, when they hear stuff like that and stuff like, you know, guys like Alex Jones and all that put out, you know, there are. there are people out there that think it's all just some sort of conspiracy theory, but there's really documentation out there of what people think that they should do to make the world a better place, you know, like birth control and population control and, you know, controlling the watersheds and the food and taxing the air and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's really...
And it's their thought of belief.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
But the thing is, they really believe this stuff. You know?
Exactly. It's not like,
well, I mean, they're like communists. Communists believe in communism. I mean, they just put layers and layers of nice fluffy stuff on it, and they call it Agenda 21, or
communism. There's always somebody to rock the boat because of, not because of the communist nature of things, but because of a deeper thing, the education, you know, of people have it, not recognizing that, to ask the questions, who am I and what is my place in the world, and then looking within themselves, recognizing that other people have that same position, other people are alive and sharing the same time period with us, everybody is communistic, everybody's socialistic, everybody, you know, I mean, and most of us are capitalistic, we all use, you know, fiat currency, you know, you can isolate that and say that somebody is a certain way, but what is truly a challenge, what is to me seems far more progressive, is to try to get to understand them and be aware of their position and then share your position and open up a dialogue that is not destructive, you know, and that's a much harder thing to do, you know.
Well, in theory, each and every
I'll
one of those.
I'll tell you a story about a Yugoslav guy. I met in Germany in 1990, and during the middle of the Yugoslav War, and he came to Germany, and he said to me, you know, when Americans used to visit Yugoslavia in the communist times, I used to go up and shake their hands, and he said, and especially like Texans, I said, why? He said, because Texans shoot communists. That's how much he hated communists. Now, his father was a communist, small-level communist, customs, control person, or whatever.
In theory...
He tells you that communism is bad, and the UN and education now...
You're part of a community, right? You're part of a community? You have people that you go and you buy food from, or... people you go and talk to and see on a regular basis, right? You're part of a community?
Yeah, community is not the same as communism.
Well, communism is sharing everything, right? But
no, communism is not sharing everything. Communism is there will be an elite at the top.
Dublin. But the way here's where the difference lies in all these different things like communism, Marxism, and socialism, and all that kind of stuff. On the layer, it all sounds appealing because, you know, he's right. When you talk about communism, it was supposed to be everything's good for the community. But the problem is where does the power lie? Where is the power consolidated at? And in all those different examples. It's up at the top, you know. There's a king, a hierarchy. Yeah. You know, even over here in the United States, where everybody keeps calling us a democracy, we're not, nor have we ever been a democracy. We are a representative republic, which we elect our representatives to go represent us before the Senate and Congress, and so on and so forth. However, it's not that anymore. They're on the mainstream media and they're preaching democracy, democracy. Well, democracy is mob rules. If 100 guys think that one guy should die because he's already sick anyway, then the one guy dies. You know, he didn't have a voice. He didn't have nobody to represent him. He had the major portion of the population saying that he was no longer worthy, and so he's gone. So mob rules in that instance. In a representative republic, you're supposed to at least have a voice to be represented. Each and every individual can speak out, you know, against their government or ask for some changes to be happening, and then they vote it in and all that kind of stuff.
Every denomination. What I think is so fascinating about the human race is that we already have a system of beautiful checks and balances that are already implemented, and yet somehow we feel that we can improve on that system and control it and manipulate it to think that we can improve on perfection is very self-preserving, you know. It's very self-centered and egotistical. I think that's really the foundation of what we're talking about is you know, education and empathy and, you know, really like spirituality. I mean, what school do you hear even if you go to a school where it's a religious school, many times they still don't even teach spirituality. They're just teaching doctrine of you know what people have said in history. You know, it's still not, you know, those type of things are something that you can only find within yourself, I think. And
there's something that has to be said. You see, America is known since 1934, when they brought in the confiscation of gold and everything else. Yeah. America has been run under emergency law. Basically, that's why the president of America can do executive power decisions. There is no representative in America anymore.
Well, that's the way it was supposed to be. That's what I'm saying. That's the way it was supposed to be. And communism was supposed to be for the better of all people. But it didn't ever turn out that way, because consolidated power, whether it be a president or king or whatever it is in each nation, you know, power corrupts and power, absolute power corrupts absolutely, that kind of deal, you know.
Yeah.
But essentially,
what they did was they brought in emergency rule in America from 1934, and America has been run every 7 years to change the name of America from. One time it's the United States, the next time it's the United States of America, because America's class is bankrupt, and it's in bankruptcy. And so,
if you look at the world, the entire world is bankrupt. Entire world is in debt.
The entire world. But this is the scam that they're running. It's that they give you the illusion that you're still running America as it was before 1934, where in actual fact, America is run only by emergency law through the executive of the president. So the president has been virtually a dictator since right through. Kennedy was kind of trying to point it out, and he was trying to use it to change things, but they took him out. Now, every other president after Kennedy has definitely been towing the line, because either he's going to get shot or he's going to get well paid, so they took the money. Now, what's more than that, it's more important to understand, is that the very rich in America, the likes of your Rockefellers and all the rest of them, they decided that communism is the best system for them. They want communism because communism means that they'll be the elite on the top and the rest will be slaves. The only worry they have is there's too many Americans and there's 300 million guns out there. So now the problem is, how to kill off 90% of the American population and take all their weapons off them. That's the only problem they got right now.
Because they're not thinking about their community. I would call it self-preservation and fear. They're worried that they'll lose the power they have, that their family has built upon, and they fear they'll lose the privilege they feel is their right to be.
Well, I think their fear is going to be strung up from a lamppost, and they're all going to get their hanging from that post in Washington, D.C. when the American people wake up, because that's where they belong. I mean, that's what you do with traitors.
At the end of the day, Rockefeller openly
admits that he works for an international cabal to destroy the United States. He openly says it. He doesn't even hide it. What do you do with traitors? You string them up in the bloody lamppost.
At the end of the day, you know, it all boils down to this. You know, we, the people, you know, given any government officials an open credit card and a free rein to do whatever it is that they're doing, is essentially like giving the greedy kid the control of the cookie jar, you know, and you get up here and you want a cookie and ain't no cookies left, and this guy was there to protect the cookies, and you just got screwed. And so, you know, it's like Thomas Jefferson said, the price to freedom is eternal vigilance. And we've kind of dropped the ball because we've been distracted with everything from Dancing with the Stars to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire to... you know, the craziest thing on TV that you can put out or whatever. And so we're running around. It takes two people in the family to actually bring enough income in to even survive to pay the electric bill and the rent and all that kind of stuff. And we drop the ball.
Well, that's all deliberately done.
Well, I understand that.
It's an engineered society that you need two people to go to work.
I understand that. But there has to come a point. There has to come a point in time when the people realize, you know, you can only get screwed so far before you ain't got nothing left. You know, you lost your house, you lost your job, you lost everything, and now you're out in the street. And you know, before it ever even gets to that point, it's going to take the voices of wisdom to shout it out and keep pointing it out. Look, there's a better way than what's going on out here. You got to pay attention to what's going on and make your vote count. You know, if you're going to vote for anybody, even if the system's rigged or whatever, you know, when enough people realize that, hey, you know, I've done talked to 100 of my neighbors and nobody voted for this guy, yet he got 100 of the votes in this small town, you know, that's not possible. And so, you know, as long as we're staying vigilant and we're paying attention, and before you push the button and say, I elect you for president, then you know exactly what that guy has done in the past and know that he's a creature of habit and he's either going to do right or he's going to do wrong. That's where the responsibility lays on we the people. We can't sit around and blame just the government for anybody starving in this world. We can't sit around and blame just the government for, you know, people going to war and people dying on a daily basis, because we are allowing these guys, via either paying our taxes or whatever, we're allowing them, we're giving them the funds, the open credit card, we're giving them the green light. They call it implied consent. You know, if they're going to do something terrible to a community, they'll put it in a newspaper in some small little community where maybe that small little community will read that newspaper. They'll be all ticked off, but they don't go out and spread that word to every single community outside their community and tell everybody, you better read this, you better read this, you know. And it, by the time it's all said and done, because it was publicly announced that they were going to do this and nobody complained, it's implied consent. And so when there's a war going on, if you ain't standing up there in front of your representative and saying, look, you got to vote against this because we do not want this war going on, then essentially you just basically give your consent by not even opening your mouth. They do that to you in court. You can give your approval in court just by not even saying nothing when the judge addresses you. You can say it by your actions on your face. They have so many ways by which to trick you into saying or signing something out of fear for your own safety or your own personal finance that it's just ludicrous. And so it's up to us to find out where these loopholes are in the law and how it is that they're doing what it is that they're doing to us. You see where I'm coming from?
Oh yeah, but the big mistake that was made in America was about the time when they made Washington D.C. the federal capital. Because it was at that point they turned America from a sovereign country into a corporation.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Washington D.C. Yeah, it was somewhere around 1878
that's
or somewhere
exactly
about
why it clogged up.
What's that again?
Hey guys, how you doing? Yeah.
Yeah, how's it going, Rick? Good
morning, Rick.
Welcome, Rick.
Morning. Yeah, before I heard Roger Landry say this last night, I already knew this because I had heard other people say this. And here's the sad truth, that most of the general public that watches TV, that doesn't do their research, that doesn't consider themselves a truther who's awake, here's what they don't know. The country has been gone for a long time.
Yep.
We no longer have a constitution or any rights. So when one of us says, hey, I got rights and under the constitution, you know, they might as well be laughing at you because they've destroyed it already a long time ago. And like what that gentleman was just saying, Roger Landry said yesterday, around the time of Lincoln, when we stopped being the territories of the United States, and becoming a corporation, and then, you know, literally in the last since we haven't printed real money, and then you can look at the laws that have been passed since 9/11, like the Patriot Act. And
hey,
NDAA.
Dublin, can you mute your mic, Dublin?
Where?
Can you mute your mic for a second?
Oh, muted. Yeah, no problem. Yeah,
thanks. Go ahead, Greg. Sorry
like
about that.
This. Yeah. Basically, it's like this. With the NDAA Act, and since 9/11 and the Patriot Act, they can grab any one of us for any reason with no proof. They don't even have to tell you why, and hold you indefinitely, torture you, or kill you. That's it. We don't have a constitution or any rights. If they decide that one of us is reaching too many people and it's time for Rick to go, I'm gone. I have no rights, neither do you.
I agree.
Not if we're here, though.
I agree with you, brother, but that's what Dieter just said.
What I'm saying, though, is people still think that there is a constitution or that they have a Bill of Rights. They don't. They haven't for a long time. Here's your homework assignment if you don't realize this. Check out the Liberty Beacon, okay, or listen to some of Roger's archives. Because the guy is telling the truth. He's not the only one who has said it.
Well, we're all in agreement here, Rick. We all agree with you, and I'm sure you can agree with what I'm fixing to say. Our rights, yours and mine's and Dieter's and Mitko's and Dublin's, our rights come from a higher power, as far as I'm concerned.
That's right.
And
you're dealing with demons, so...
I understand that.
The only right you really got is if they're going to try to come and take you away... without a trial, without a jury, hold you indefinitely for life because you might be a terrorist, you have one right.
That's when we got to stand up for each other. That's when we got to stand up for our brothers and sisters. If you see that farmer next door getting his farm taken away because of some genetically altered food came over and infected his crop, and they're trying to steal his property or his land... You know, whatever you think about what happened out there at the Bundy Ranch or whatever, the fact is the people went up there, they stood up for what they believed in, and things changed.
They should do that, yeah.
Yeah.
They should do that every time. And that couple in Florida, we know them personally. They're the ones who gave us our Bible.
Well, we need to stand up for them.
Chico and Debbie. And here's what I suggest. They used to go there once a week, and now they've been banned from the park and... fine, big time. Well, I suggest that tons of other good Samaritan people go there 7 days a week and stop feeding the homeless.
Everybody
disobedient.
Everybody put on your Batman suit, your Robin suit, your Superman suit.
No.
I'm talking about how Dublin's talking about guerrilla charity. I mean, if there's enough flybys going by handing people sandwiches and sodas or drinks or whatever, food and medicine, whatever they need, and the government can't catch you, they don't know who the heck you are, they can't keep up on it, you know? I understand what you're trying to say. They come in there in full force.
Every city and state said, hey, listen, you know what? This is tyranny. This is exactly why we had these rights to bear arms. Now, here's the deal. From now on, we're all going to feed the homeless whenever we feel like
it. Yeah, exactly.
If you send men with force, we'll have to have militia people there when we feed the homeless.
Yep.
And any of you guys who come pointing guns at us, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to face the wrath of us. Well, in other words, listen... This is tyrannical. These people are starving. They need food. And the reason they're starving is you took all the jobs away. So we're all going to feed the homeless whenever we feel like it, wherever we feel like it. And you're not going to stop us. And if you try, it's going to be a gunfight. End of story. That is the only way. See, listen, they rule us at the end of a gun. Okay? This is how they have ruled us. So we're not going to hug them and kiss them and say, could you please not arrest us or point your guns at us? When I ask them not to point their guns at me over a noise complaint because I was talking loud. You know what they did? When I showed them my hands and said, please take your hands off your gun, two big steroid guys knocked me off my chair, busted the chair in front of Annie, jumped on my neck and my back and stepped on my face while they were telling me not to resist, and then they kidnapped me and held me all night. Then I went before the judge and I explained, I don't appreciate being kidnapped by Nazis, and I'm well aware of the New World Order, and I will never consent or go along with what's going on. And he said, yeah, I noticed that you had a long dialogue with the officers, and there should be more awake, aware people like yourself. Funny that that's the name, the slogan of this network.
Yeah.
And he said, and I said, listen, if you give me a fine, I'm not going to be able to pay it, because I'm taking care of a disabled wife who has seizures. And I'm going to end up back here in jail because I can't afford a fine, because all our jobs have been taken away by President Clinton through NAFTA. I said, I know exactly what the bankster system is doing to this country. And he said, there's not going to be any fine. Go home and take care of your wife. Have a good day. And that was it.
Well, and that's an honorable judge, and there should be more like that.
If it was a Freemason, I could have ended up in a mental hospital for the rest of my life, you know. But the point I'm trying to make is we don't have a constitution anymore. You don't have any rights.
Well, brother,
and if you even speak about your rights, any policemen that have been brainwashed by the MIAC report and Homeland Security, you know what they said when I said I know my rights? They asked me if I was one of them sovereigns. Oh, you're one of them sovereigns.
Listen to me, brother. Listen to me.
And the two cops looked at each other. That was before they beat me down to the ground and busted my ribs.
Listen to me, brother. I'm gonna disagree with you on one point, and I hope it don't upset you, but I do have a constitution. I got a copy of the United States Constitution. I keep it with me. And I've got multiple copies of the Constitution. My grandfather and his grandfather and so on down the line, I come from a long line of military people who at least believed in what they were fighting for in order to ensure that I could have those rights. And so to me, no, listen, I don't care whether the government took it away. The government didn't have the constitutional authority to take it away. And so as far as I'm concerned, I personally, and everyone out there, still has a constitution, and I will not let go of it, just like I will not let go of my Bible just because somebody tells me that they don't believe in God and that I can't be a Christian, and if it comes down to me, life or death, I will die for my beliefs. And so when it comes down to the Constitution of the United States of America, I have a constitution whether they say so or not. They can come and they can detain me. They can break out. Hold on. Let me finish. Let me finish. I will defend that United States Constitution and Bill of Rights for every living soul in the United States of America with the last breath that I have. Regardless of whether any government official out there says that I have no rights under the National Defense or the Patriot Act or anything like that, because the difference in me as opposed to the average Joe is I fear no death, and I'm not worried about all that kind of stuff. But I will not allow them to take away something that I know that my forefathers shed their blood, tears, their family, and their treasures from. My ultimate rights come from my God. And when those folks fought for my rights and they gave me that Constitution followed down from hand to hand to hand, and it's in my hand now, and I will hold that paper I will hold that paper as a contract regardless of whether the jackboot thugs kick my door in, mow me down, and mow my family down, because at the end of the day, I will stand justified while they're breaking the law. You understand where I'm coming from?
Oh, I totally agree.
The Constitution is the contract with the government. Only the government.
Either way, it's the only document. It is the only document.
Shaziz is is right to a certain degree. But here's
the problem. He's wrong, but he doesn't have a constitution.
Can I just respond to him, and then you can say what you're going to say. The bottom line is, what he said, what Shaz said, was right when he said he has God-given rights. So, by virtue of any man writing down on a piece of paper that you have rights to life, liberty, freedom, and the pursuit of happiness, when they did that right there and then, we all should have said, well, yeah, we already have that right. Duh.
Exactly.
That's right, but here's...
The Bill of Rights is that. You see, this is where Shaziz is wrong. Is wrong. Shaziz is completely wrong. A constitution is a contract. It's what controls
my government. Hold on, guys. Hold on. Yeah. Let me just finish.
When you accept in wording that your government gives you rights, then they could retract them for some reason. What I'm saying, the reason Shaziz is right, is that we always had sovereign rights as children of God to live our lives in peace without being impeded by a tyrannical government. So every time men wrote on a piece of paper that we're going to have rights, and then they thought maybe they can take it away under martial law or an emergency status, it's all a load of crap. No one can take your rights. You have rights from your God-given creator, and the rights that they did give you on paper, they have already dismantled them under executive orders.
It's an illusion anyway.
You have to understand what is a constitution. A constitution is a contract that you give to the government, and it limits their powers. The Bill of Rights is what you need to defend, because the Bill of Rights, which gives you all your rights. You don't get any rights.
No, you don't.
Hey, guys, can we pause this conversation for a second? Hold on, guys. We got Dame Shannon and Knight Cultus in here. They want to say something to you guys real quick.
Love you all. See you soon.
Drive safe.
Talk to you soon. All right,
be safe.
Fly safe.
Love you all. Have a good show. And,
You guys have a safe trip back.
Peace and love to you all. You all be good. And I shall most likely, next show I'll be back over in Australia for a little while. So just getting things sorted out over there to return again.
We'll get him back.
Be safe.
You guys have a safe trip.
The bottom line is you all ought to check out, there's a thing called the Constitution of No Authority, written by Lysander Spooner. You can do a search on YouTube, and this was written a long, long time ago. And what it said was the men who signed the Constitution, that was the contract, and they're the ones who signed it. So since they've been dead, technically, all that was just the right to create a dictatorship, and we've had many guests that have explained this on our show, that the Constitution in itself was another form of consent, and it was a big joke and a game to these political people who know that there's really only one thing that matters, and that is you are as free as you want to be because you were created in God's image and given freedom by God and God alone.
Yeah, and I agree, but let me make a point real quick.
Whether it's the Bill of Rights or the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence, there's really only one law. If someone does harm to you, you have a right to defend yourself.
All right, I agree with you, but let me make a point here. I know this is a heated debate because whether I'm personally right or wrong, but those come from my own personal beliefs. The fact is this, you know, if you have a world, it's total chaos, and you decide that for some reason that you need some sort of government in place to represent you and follow what it is that you believe in when they go to vote and do what it is that they do. Between the rights of my creator to the rights of the Constitution, if I'm going to allow anyone to oversee me as far as keeping things in order, keeping order in society as man, then I want some form of written documentation that I can use as a guideline to what they cannot do to me. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
I don't want them to have total control, but at the same sense, I don't mind the fact that we got people that are out there looking out for our best interest. If it was me personally, we wouldn't have no armies, we wouldn't have no wars, we wouldn't have no starvation and all that kind of stuff. But we live in the real world, the real here and now world. And so that one piece of paper, regardless of whether it's agreed upon that we should have ever signed it or not, I understand that. I understand that. But I do honor that. I honor that because I agree that to some extent we do need some form of government at this point in time because we haven't reached the ultimate utopia. However, my ultimate rights come from my Creator. My Constitution is the only piece of paper, even if it's outdated as far as some people consider, or even if it should never have been signed because my ultimate rights do come from our Creator. It is the only wall in between myself and a tyrannical government, which in my Constitution, it gives us a First Amendment to speak. It also gives us a Second Amendment to keep and bear arms just in case they get tyrannical. And so whenever they get to the point where they are today, when it tells me in my Constitution that it's my duty to overthrow such tyrannical government, and I have the rights and the authority by the contract that they all agreed to protect when they took their oaths of office, then I'm taking that literally, all right? And then when it all said and done, my ultimate judgment comes from my Creator. And if it comes down to an actual armed conflict, would God forbid, I pray to God that it never happens here in the United States of America, that we don't have no second civil war, because neither side will win. But when it comes down to the actual defense of that, I know enough people in my bloodline who have died, who have suffered, who have fought and give their blood, sweat, their tears, and their fortunes and their family in order to preserve that one wall that stands between me and the tyrannical government. So whatever they said from after they signed that contract with the people is null and void as far as I'm concerned. If it's anti-constitutional, then it is against that contract. They're in breach of contract. And so with that said, the contract is null and void, and I revert back to my Creator's laws. You see what I'm saying? I'm always under my Creator's laws.
I agree with you 100%.
But with that contract.
And the last thing that I'll say on it is this. When you make a contract with what Lysander Spooner said, a liars, murderers, and thieves that aren't going to honor that contract and trick you at every chance they get with fake wording, and they readily, openly admit that if you're stupid enough to believe their lies, then they have a right to rob you and steal from you. Well, then, you know what? A contract with a liar, murderer, and a thief who's not going to keep his end of the bargain. And that's what they've been doing since Lincoln.
There's a higher contract, brother. There's a higher contract given to me by my Creator that says that I got to do certain things and not do certain things. And so with that said, since I have to live down here with man, and I have to live in a peaceful society, and we have to have some rules and regulations based upon the original laws given down by my Creator, then those laws that they sign, if they're in breach of them, they're in breach of them, regardless of whether you like the Constitution. I understand that.
There's a false flag coming, and there's going to be Chinese troops on the street.
Well, when that day comes,
they don't care about our constitutional rights or God, because a lot of them are
atheists. When that day comes, I will shred personally. I will shred the contract known as the United States Constitution. I will shred it. All right, and I will do that because I'm going to fall right back to the ultimate law, which is the beliefs that I have, and I'm going to do what it takes to defend my family, to defend my nation against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, and that is what the beliefs that I stand on come from. It comes from my beliefs in my Creator. It comes from my beliefs that we signed a contract, the government signed a contract with us, that they will not do these things, they will not infringe on certain things. And if it comes down to that point, Chinese troops, Russian troops, any other troops from any other nation coming down here to put harm upon my family, I will defend it with my last very breath, because those are the beliefs that I stand for, because I believe in the beliefs that my grandfather stood for, which were the same things that I believe all of us believe in. So I do honor the contract known as the United States Constitution, even if it should never have been put in place. It was put in place by man. It was to try to keep our societies together, give checks and balances, and so far, to this date, it has bought us the time via the checks and balances of all the different branches of the government. It has bought us a time. The United States of America is the longest lasting government system for the people, by the people, in the history of time. We've lasted over 200 years because of that one contract. When they get to the point where it is just so unbearable that the average Joe cannot stand what the government is doing anymore, and everybody starts waking up like they are, and it falls apart. When it falls apart, I will stand by the rules that my God put down for me. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. I'll do whatever it takes to try to stick to that. But when it comes down to defending my family, 100%. I'm not backing down. You understand what I'm saying? Because those who laid the stepping stone for me, I owe them that at the very least. And I owe the future generations of my children and my children's children on into the future, their grandchildren, I owe them the opportunity that was given to me. That is where my heart lies, and that's where my belief systems will take me, no matter how bad this world gets. You understand what I'm saying?
100%, and I totally agree with you. I'm just telling you that when you do the research that Roger does and other people that have looked into the laws and how our nation has fallen the way it has, it's because these men didn't have any respect for that, what they call a GD piece of paper.
Well, we're all in agreement on that. We're all in agreement.
And as far as where we're at right now, those of us that are speaking out against them are called terrorists, and at any time they feel that they have a right to hold us indefinitely without a trial, without an attorney.
But what I'm hoping to accomplish by the Knights of the Round Table and the all the shows that we do out here, what I'm hoping to accomplish is to make the people out there realize, to empower the people to not only believe in themselves, to understand their true power's origin, where they know that they're not helpless, no matter how bad. I mean, I've been down the abyss.
I didn't say we were helpless.
I understand that.
We're lying in this constitution.
I know they are. I know they are.
They haven't honored it.
We all know they are. But I want to empower the people to believe in themselves to the point where they understand that they're not helpless, that they have other options outside of the system itself. That trust me, brother, I've been so deep down in the abyss, I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to see. I've researched every single the so-called conspiracy theory under the sun, which is not conspiracy, but true fact that it's really going on. We are fighting a spiritual war of epic proportions, an evil unlike anything that you could possibly imagine. And it happens with a smile on their face. They do these things and they don't care. They just think about the money that's going to go in their pocket.
They believe in it.
Yeah.
Worse than that, Roger dropped something in the chat room that I could give you guys a link to if you want to discuss that. Are you going till noontime? I'm going to let the call go in a minute.
We're going to be here till noon.
I'd like to give you a link that Roger dropped in the chat room.
Well, somebody wants to drag that up and check it over real quick, because I'm pushing my limits as far as what I can open up here before I crash the computer. So, but anyway, what I'm trying to say is I don't disagree with Dublin. And I don't disagree with you, and I don't disagree with anyone out there. I understand what's going on, and it is nasty. It is really nasty. But I'm trying to. I did a show called "Shout It from the Mountain," and what I wanted was everybody to stand up there on top of that mountain, wherever you're at. If you don't got a mountain, stand on top of your coffee table or your couch or whatever you can safely do.
So that's why we're on the radio every day,
and shout it to the top of your lungs, because one voice. in a crowd won't be heard. But if that entire crowd raises their voice, you know, in my beliefs, God said that the faith of a mustard seed could move a mountain, and a mustard seed is you. You know, you have that faith, you can move that mountain. Your voices can either raise somebody up to the highest points of heaven or to the lowest depths of hell and the darkest abyss that you can possibly imagine. That's how powerful you are, and that is from your Creator. Go back and read the entire book of Genesis, and you'll understand where I'm coming from when you read that and you understand it. And then jump on over there and read Revelations, and you'll understand why it is that I feel so strongly about what I feel. That the story told from the beginning to the end. It doesn't take a book to show you that. All you have to do is use common sense and look at the path that we are on as a nation, as a world. We are heading towards sheer destruction. And I'm not out here to scare the living you-know-what out of you. I'm out here to tell you that the only ones who can put their foot on that brake to keep this bus from going over the cliff is you, the individual. We, the people, as a combined effort, have a voice as loud enough to literally quake this earth. You understand what I'm saying?
Totally.
Oh, yeah, look. Shaziz, we love where you're coming from. It's just that it's very important when you're explaining to the rest of people that you use the correct words and terms. For example, you can say to the government, I hold you to the Constitution. You can say to the USA Army, I require you to defend the Constitution. But we, the people, we're sovereign. The message we need to get out to everybody is they're sovereign. Now, you choose to be sovereign under God with your line of religion. Other people who are not from God or, with other religions are also sovereign. By being sovereign, we recognize the sovereignty of everybody. It doesn't mean that I'm sovereign and everybody else isn't sovereign.
I agree.
It's slightly important to use the correct terms like, we can't say we defend the Constitution.
Well,
expect you to follow the Constitution, and we expect the Army to defend it. We expect the police to defend the Constitution. The civil servants are there to defend it.
I agree, but listen, in your side of the world, sovereignty is a well-known name because you got some brilliant people over there who were wise enough to research. And I'm just a redneck in the center of the world, in the state of Missouri. I'm just a guy sitting out here, and I don't have all the high-tech terminology, and I ain't well addressed in all the dictionary to tell people. To me, freedom is sovereignty, and so when I say it out there, and I'm talking to the world, I'll use both. I'll use freedom, I'll use sovereignty, I'll use peace and love and hope and everything that I can to address as many people as I can with the words that they understand. I wish that I was well enough versed in the dictionary and the laws and everything that I could just come out there and I could give the most brilliant speech that every single person could understand, but I'm not. I'm right now grasping at every single straw that I can get my hands on, because as I look into the future and I see the path that humanity is on, I am so worried, I am so disturbed, because I have such a love in my heart for my fellow humans around this world, and I recognize the beauty and the capabilities and all the resources and potential that were gifted to us by, in my belief, our Creator. And so when I see this and I see it all going down this path, I have read Revelations and I know that the story was told from front to back. But I'm one of those guys out there who's going to keep on trying. I'll be the last man standing in the midst of the apocalypse, and I'll be shouting to the world, can't we all just get along? Because what was given to us was so beautiful, so divine, so wonderful, that I'm not willing to let it go without a fight, and I don't believe my Creator put me here to lay down before evil and say, you know, I'm just going to take it. I can't fight against them, and nobody else wants to help me. If no man on this planet stands beside me in the heat of battle, I personally will go down with my Bible in my right hand and my firearm in my left hand, whichever it takes, because I'm going to defend my family, I'm going to defend my faith, I'm going to defend my beliefs and my country, just like you should do to your country as well. And that's where I stand.
That's why you're one of my favorite people. That's why you're
one of my favorite people as well. But
yeah, it's good to
know one or two terms, because it's not just us. We have to spread the message.
I agree.
So that others understand that ultimately government is something that's under our control with a contract called the Constitution. And if they won't follow the Constitution, we just go back to basics, which is sovereignty.
Amen,
we're
brother.
All sovereign, and this is, you know, my patch of my piece of land.
Annie?
But they try to do everything through what's called administrative rights. Basically, Washington is trying to
turn
the whole of the USA over to administration rules, which is how Washington, D.C. is run. Now, the way forward is to stop that by basically making the sheriff, which he is, the highest power in the county.
I agree with you, Devin.
The sheriff. We want no more FBI. We don't want no more army. The sheriff is where, you know, it stops at, and reduce central government power. It's stoppable. It's just you have to know where the nuts and bolts of the system are. And in America,
Annie would like to say something.
Hold, hold up, Dublin. Hold up.
I dropped the link to you guys right there. Secrets of the Fed, 22 quotes
right there in the office.
Hold on, everybody's talking over everybody. Dublin, hold on for a second, brother. Hold that thought.
Annie would like to say one sentence.
Hold that thought,
Dublin. I dropped the link to you guys.
It's actually simpler in America than most other parts of the world. It's tricky here because we're not armed.
We're with you, brother. Hold that thought for a second. Annie wants to say something.
I was listening to you talk, Chaz. You don't need to know the fancy words and rhetoric, right? You just know the basics. You want to protect. Stand up for your rights and stand up for your God-given rights. It's action and faith.
Yep.
Because words are empty.
Right, and these people manipulate words, and that what I just dropped to you guys right there is what Roger Landry was talking about last night on his show. It's 22 quotes that lay out the elite's agenda, okay? Everything they have done to us, it's all right there. One of the things it says is no one will go into their new world order unless you pledge allegiance to Lucifer, basically.
Well, they ain't going to get that from me.
People out there who say, well, I don't believe Satan is real. Well, they do. That's their God. And that's what this is all about. This whole new world order and depopulation thing is the battle between good and evil. So whether you whatever you call yourself or whatever you think God's name is, it doesn't matter. If you're not a Satanist, then you should be with us. Because they do intend to get rid of us all and enslave the rest. So we do need to put our spiritual armor on. And what Chaz said, I totally agree 100%. But in their minds, there is no Constitution. And with one swipe of the pen, we go under emergency acts where they will take possession of everything. And they've been gearing up for this for many years.
Well, brother, when they swipe that pen, you will hear me shouting over everything in this entire world. You will hear me shouting, and you will literally hear the shredding of the United States Constitution, because at that point in time, I will consider the contract null and void, and I will go by the authority of my Creator, and I will do whatever it takes to defend myself and this nation against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Yeah. Whatever color uniform they're wearing, they will be considered to me an enemy if they are there to harm my family, and that is where I stand. I may be Yeah, well, you'll be right there beside me, brother, I'm sure. And
what I don't understand is how come our men who have taken oaths haven't taken care of this?
Well, they should have. They should have. And they haven't. And that's why we're all here doing
preservation.
Yep.
Yeah, for the paycheck, right? Exactly.
Well, they sold their souls.
We're all in this together. We are one.
They sold their souls, and they sold their selves, and they sold their sovereignty for the paycheck, for the power, or whatever kick they get out of doing whatever it is they're doing. But what, at the end of the day, no matter who they are, whether they be president of the United States, whether they be Congress, Senate, police officer, judge, jury, or executioner, every single one of us will face judgment, even if it isn't by God Almighty Himself, which I believe it will be. It will be by one another when all hell breaks loose and the guns and the bullets start flying, because I believe that there are so many individuals out there, including the sick, including the demented, that will take advantage of that situation, and you will literally see what I see in my mind as I look into the future of humanity, of the ultimate apocalypse with killing, death, and destruction, the worst possible case scenario that you can imagine.
Hell on earth,
exactly. And that is why I am standing here today talking into this microphone to all the Knights of the Round Table, the wonderful people that come from every nation of this world, and I am telling them that we have to all put our feet on the brakes. We all have to steer this bus away from the cliff, because at the end of this day, you either want to walk in hell on earth or you want to walk in a utopia on earth, a heaven on earth. And the only ones that can do that is we the people, because these guys are not, and they will not do anything that was going to benefit all of humanity. The proof is in the pudding. The track record that they've left behind has been nothing but death, destruction, starvation, ignorance, lies, and deceit of epic proportions. So if you don't believe that there is evil, if you don't believe that there's Satan, there is a literal Satan, all you have to do is look out into the world, look into the eyes of that baby sitting next to his dead mom and dad, next to a drone strike that just got ordered by one man sitting on a phone up in what we call our representative White House. It has been done, and it continues to be done, and until every single man, woman, and child stand up and say, not anymore. Never again will you kill in my God's name or my country's name or under my colors or the flag that my veterans of these United States of America have died and sacrificed everything that they had their entire lives. Sacrificed their missing arms, their missing legs, their missing portions of their brain, their diseases, the lack of promises kept to them, so on and so forth, until every single man, woman, and child on this planet decides enough is enough and stand up for that baby over there and stop that bomb before it ever even gets off the ground to go over there and drop in somebody's lap. Then this is going to continue. And until that day, I will take every breath in my lungs, every last beat of my heart, to shout it from every single mountaintop to every single willing ear listening to hear some sort of common sense coming from some crazy mad science redneck in the state of Missouri in the heartland of the United States. These are my beliefs and these are what I stand on, and this is why I put the Knights of the Round Table together, to give you that voice to shout from this mountain. You understand what I'm saying? It's a big deal. It is a big, big deal. Your family, my family, our babies, their future rests in what we do and say today.
These people that we're trying to reach, they just keep hearing lies upon more lies upon more lies, and then they go to the polls thinking that they elect somebody.
Their own doctors say that they
select somebody. And then they turn on the news.
Then, brother, do this.
Because they like that news reporter, and they think, they thought that
do
Clark
this.
Like was
do
a
this,
good
then,
man,
brother.
And all these news reporters look into the camera, and lie straight to their face.
Listen, listen.
They call us nutcase conspiracy theorists, but they believe the liars that are Satanists.
This is the solution, Rick. This is, Rick, this is the solution. This is the solution. You take and you copy down the Knights of the Round Table. You copy every single Knights of the Round Table. You and everybody out there. You put it on CD and you drop them on benches and desks and in people's hands all over. And you let them hear what Mitko said from Bulgaria, what Tom said from Canada, what Dieden said from the United States, what you and I said from the United States. You let them hear what's going on, what people are coming together, what we're talking about, what it is that the Knights of the Round Table stands for to begin with. You let them hear that CD. And you pass it on. You keep on passing it on. And when more people start to realize that there is an alternative to what they see on a daily basis, everyone's sick of it. Everyone's sick of paying high bills. Everyone's sick of paying high food bills. Everyone's sick of being distorted, being blackmailed, and treated like cattle and trash. Everyone's sick of it. Pass it to the world. Pass these podcasts around. I don't put them up there on this website for nothing. I'm hoping and I'm praying that somebody hears something out of my mouth that makes their day better, that makes their world, that gives them some sort of ounce of hope. Because, like I said before, man, the path that we're on, I'm not the only one that sees it. Rick, you see it, or you wouldn't have the passion. You and Annie wouldn't have the passion to do what it is that you do. And none of us would be here. None of us would say a dang thing if we didn't have faith in what we're trying to accomplish here. None of us would open our mouths. None of us would waste the time getting up out of bed early or late at night and putting these shows together if we didn't believe, like everyone else here. Look at all these networks coming together, man. We got small networks. We got large networks. We got people coming together because we all believe in the dream. And that's what it's all about. The whole thing is about those paving stones that we're laying down, those pebbles that we're throwing out there. We got to point out the negativity. We got to point it out. But we also got to tell them, look, this is a negative pill to swallow right here. But brother, there is a solution. And that solution starts with you getting up off that couch. You see what I'm saying?
Totally. Totally. And I'll take it one step further. My grandfather landed on the beach of Normandy on D-Day. What you see at the beginning of that movie, Saving Private Ryan.
What do you think was going through his mind as he was racing through those bullets coming at him?
Well, they were puking. They were puking as they were coming in, facing certain death. And then after they took that beach, because a lot of them died at first, and they somehow killed most of the gunners behind the machine guns. Then they were on to go across the country and to liberate people in camps that were, you know, and to see the devastation that was created, not by Hitler, by men in our country, industrialists who backed Hitler. And then at the end of that war, when he came back and drank himself silly and then started Alcohol Anonymous in the Rhode Island area, if he would have known that our government made a deal with Operation Paperclip to bring people like Joseph Mengele here, wow. You know what? If this New World Order thing goes down, I don't want to live in their world run by Satanists.
I don't either.
So I could not bow to Satan or go along with it. I'd rather be shot myself or a guillotine. So I'll go home. I don't want to be in this world if we can't win this. If we can't win this and straighten out the problems. And I know you don't either. Do you want to live in a world that they want it?
No, sir. That's why I'm here with you, brother. That's why I'm here. And you know, right now the resources that I have is this computer, my heart, and this network. And these are my resources. This is my mountain to shout from, and it's your mountain to shout from. And by God, you know, whatever it takes.
Use it. Yeah, and we're all banding together, and you're going to see these more networks jumping on board, smaller ones jumping on board, more hosts are going to jump on board. I predict within a couple of months we're going to have Awake Radio too. you know, because this thing is just going to keep rolling and rolling.
Yes, it will. And with that said, let's take a quick music break. I'm going to play two songs. One of them by maybe a controversial band called Black Sabbath. And I'm also going to play another one by Ozzy. All right, now, whatever you think about either one of these two people, you know, they both were in the same band at one time. But the message that's going on...
I sang in a tribute band to them a long time ago.
Whatever you think about them, just
that's a good one.
just listen to the words. What's being said?
I know.
And so with that said, we're going to take a quick music break, and we're going to catch our second wind, try to calm down a bit, because we had a really good heated debate about freedom and Constitution, and these are things that need to be said. These are things that we need to get excited about this. We need to do this because we need to wake the people out there in this world up to the reality of the fact that they're not helpless, and they do have some power, and their power lies with their brothers and sisters standing side by side when they're in need, and that's what we believe in. So with that said, I'm going to play these two songs, and when I get these two songs played out, when we come back, I would like your comment on what you think these songs mean. All right?
Sure.
All right.
Hey.
Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
You're on fire. No one's debating with you. We agree with you.
All right. Peace and love, everybody.
If you're not angry, you don't understand the problem.
And how,
you have
Bubba.
To get angry first.
We're passionate.
You gotta get mad.
All right. Everybody, listen to these two songs for me, and you'll see what it is that I'm talking about. All right. Here we go.
Mute up, everybody. Mute up while he's going to the commercial because it interferes with the sound of the music.
All right, here we go. We'll be right back.
Shaziz the Terrible. All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. There was a couple powerful songs there. I want to first off start off by honoring the Knights of the Round Table. I want to honor Dieden and Tom and Rick and Dublin and Mitko and Coltis and Thomas Anderson and all the folks out there who take their time out of the day to get on here and bring information to every single individual out there listening. I also want to honor all the people out there who are behind the scenes, Granada Steve and Paula, and there's so much that goes on behind the scenes of these radio networks that it's just sometimes overlooked. I want to honor every single listener out there, because each and every one of you are that one gear, that one missing piece of the puzzle that makes the entire thing work. And without any of you, we're that much weaker. If we lose one single soul to it, to this entire mission or message, then we have to work just that much harder, which we can and we will work harder, even if some of us happen to fall. And I pray that that's never the case. But the fact of the matter is, each and every one of you is so important every single night of the round table. The fact that you guys come out here and you put yourself out in front of the world, your ideas and your beliefs out in front of the world, that to me is true honor. That is a true night of the round table and dames of the round table. That's just to me, that is the epitome of everything that I could even possibly hope and dream for as far as getting anything started. You know, until you turn the key in your car, you're not going nowhere. We've already turned the key. We've turned and we put our seat belts on. We have turned our radio on to our favorite radio station. We've done everything, and we're getting ready for that long journey down the roughest road in the history of time. And we will say and do and shout from every single street corner, every single mountain, everything that we can think of that is good and common sense that everyone should already know. We know they live in their little bubbles. We know that they've been lied to. We know that they've been cheated, distorted, robbed, raped, murdered, looted, pillaged. And we're fed up. But the Knights of the Round Table, they stood up. They stood up and they walked to the table. And they said from their hearts and their minds what needed to be said at the right time, at the right place, to plant that seed. In the Bible, it talks about planting a seed. You may not always live to see the fruits of your labor. You may not always be there to enjoy that apple that you planted that seed years ago. It may be your children that get to enjoy the first apple on there. It may be your great-grandchildren that get to enjoy the first apple on there. But if you never planted that seed, then it never occurred. If we never got up, if you guys hadn't got up and you hadn't stepped up to the plate and you had come to this table, it never would have got said. The seed never would have been planted. And all of our worst fears would come true without so much as even a fight, without so much as a whimper. We would all pass into this night, into the worst hell on earth that we could dream. We're not willing to allow that as long as we have a breath. As long as we have a heartbeat, as long as we have a computer, the technology and the gifts and the things that we have, the resources that we have combined, we're going to shout it. We're going to shout it from that mountain. We're going to raise our voices up so loud that God Almighty Himself can hear it. And that's the only way that this is ever going to get fixed. The world wasn't broken overnight. And it won't get fixed overnight. But we're the gardeners, and we're going to plant them seeds. And our future generations, they're not going to have to hear a song like Heaven and Hell. They're not going to have to hear about lies and deceit and death and destruction. They're going to know that things were bad at one point. But that at that point in time, humanity, if we ever even get the opportunity to reach even remotely a quarter of a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak, to reach the ultimate dream that I feel so deeply in my heart. If they're ever to have that hope, it's going to start with Diane, and it's going to start with Mitko, it's going to start with Rick and Andy, and it's going to start with Dublin, and it's going to start with me. That's what those songs mean to me. That's what you guys mean to me. So my honor and my humble, my heart and my love belongs to you.
And it's shared. I appreciate that.
Well, brother, it comes from the heart. If a man can't be confident to shed a tear in front of his friends, then a man isn't a man. Not, at least not one with a good heart.
I have no one.
Brother, you don't need words. You said it all just by showing up at the table. You guys do it all the time. You show up at the table. And until we get more people at this table, until we build this world into a huge table where everyone can sit around and see eye to eye or even have minor disagreements but do it respectfully, until we realize that the alternative to peace is war, and nothing ever good comes out of war, until we realize that we have the capabilities to heal the sick, we have the capabilities to feed the hungry, until guys and gals like us get up there and we stand at this table together. There's a picture out there, hands around the world. It's got black hands, it's got yellow hands, red hands, white hands. It's got all these hands, and they're reaching around the world, and they're talking to each other, and they're loving each other. I know it sounds so unachievable, but according to this book that I hold in my hand, in the book of Genesis, it told the story from the beginning to the end. According to this book right here, we were given a divine gift. And so far, humanity has done a real good job of squandering that. You can't look out into this world and you can't see the fish dying off, and you can't see the trees wilting, and you can't see the skies cloudy and murky, and all the terrible things that are done to this amazing work of art. You can't see that and understand that there's not something going wrong. It's your duty, it's your job as a human being. Even if you're a non-believer, it's your job to, when you see something done, you're a caretaker. If you don't believe in God and you believe that you die, when you die, that's it. Do you really want to leave what you had to go through to the future of humanity? Or do you pick up a shovel and a broom and a mop and you start cleaning house so that the folks that come after you can enjoy what it is that you had the opportunity to enjoy? We can't do this by ourselves, but we can do it together. And by God, if I'm the only man standing in the midst of the entire apocalypse while the entire world's crashing down, until all hope is lost, until there's not an opportunity to do or say a single thing to change what's going on, I'm going to shout it. I'm going to shout it with my last breath, and whenever I can't shout anymore, I'll whisper it. And whenever I can't whisper it anymore, I will take my finger and I will write it in the blood and dirt that lays before me, because I believe, and that's all I got. That's all I got is that dream.
God bless you.
God bless you and the world, brother.
I was looking for...
People.
Go ahead.
We need more people like you, Shadid.
Well, I need more people like you. I need more people like Rick and Annie and Dieden. I need you guys to get passionate. I need you to get loud. I need you to shout it from every street corner and every mountain, that tell people, look, there is something different than what we got, and we can make it happen. It, you know, what's the worst case scenario? We all fail. The whole thing crashes down. The whole world gets destroyed. But if there's even a remote chance, even a smidgen of a chance, to me it's worth fighting for. I can't look in my baby's eyes, I can't look in my granddaughter's eyes and know what it is that I know in my mind, that I have looked into the future and I've seen the path that humanity's on. I can't look into their eyes and then smile in their face and then not get up and pick up a broom or a mop and try to clean up, you know, the mess that so many before us have created. And when I say that, I don't mean that the majority of the population have created this mess, but a lot of it was allowed. A lot of it was consented to by even implied consent. We know it's wrong. We got to fix it. You know, it's like your car. If you neglect your car, one of these days you're driving down the road, and guess what? You're sitting on the side of the road, and you are at the mercy of any other individual that might feel bad enough to stop and give you a lending hand. The same thing applies with government. They're going to take us down this road. And when they get there, are they going to come around to door and hand each and every one of us food and divide up all the money that they've gathered through all the times that they've been there? And take care of us? No. At that time, the only one that they're going to concern about taking care of is their families, their individual self, their own personal needs. And we're at the mercy of each other. I want to know that my next door neighbor, if he needs a piece of bread, that I can give him a piece of bread. If he needs a shirt or anything, that he knows that he can come to me and I will give him whatever I got. I will share whatever I got with anybody who is in need. And I would like to know that my neighbor feels that same way about me. I wish you could meet one of my neighbors. His name's Chuck, and he's got a wife named Diane. Two wonderful individuals who live down to earth. You know, they don't try to be rich. They don't try to be something they're not. They just nature-loving individuals and would give anything that they had to help you out. You don't get that every day. A lot of folks down in the city don't have the pleasure of having neighbors like that. Most neighbors are busy calling the law on them because they don't like it because their grass is an inch too tall, or the dog's barking too much, or whatever. They call the law so much that there's so many regulations that keep you from being you and being free and having your own property rights. You have no property rights if you're living in a city, because you done consented to give them all away. So I seen that system was so corrupt, and I just couldn't deal with it anymore. I couldn't live in a neighborhood where my neighbors didn't even love me enough to not to come over and ask me if I needed help, as opposed to calling the law on me. So I moved way out into the country to where I was around like-minded individuals, farmers who know what it means to have property, who know what it means to work hard for a living, and know what it means to be poor. And so they know, and they give by their beliefs.
They're some of the richest people.
Yep.
Hey, I was just looking for a quote by John F. Kennedy, and I noticed a few really good ones, if you don't mind me reading a couple.
No, read them, brother. It's all about sharing.
Mankind must put an end to war before war puts an end to mankind. John F. Kennedy.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Things do not happen. Things are made to happen. John F. Kennedy. A man may die, nations may rise and fall, but an idea lives on. John F. Kennedy. Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men. John F. Kennedy.
Huh.
Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty, John F. Kennedy. The goal of education is the advancement of knowledge and the dissemination of the truth, John F. Kennedy. Mm-hmm. This was the one I was looking for. You ready?
Yep.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable.
And I believe that's... I believe that's why John F. Kennedy was done the way that he was done. Because there are those who don't want the dream, you know?
They don't want to lose what they have.
Yep. Because in order for them to be king, they need servants. In order for them to be powerful, they need slaves.
Hey, here's one you'll really like, Chaz. Sounds like you wrote this. It says, the world is very different now, for man holds in his mortal hands the power to abolish all forms of human poverty and all forms of human life.
Well, do you remember what I asked you to read that other day?
Yeah. I'm going to put it on my page today.
Those kind of things, those are in each and every one of us, because I know, I tried to do another deal called The Most Profound Letter of Peace, and that was you speaking from the heart, telling the world, you know. There's got to be a way, and the way is us. It's us. There's no way around it. You know, if you don't stand up for what you believe in, then you stand for nothing at all, you know? Nothing.
Here's another one you'll like. The cost of freedom is always high, but Americans have always paid it. And one path we shall never choose, and that is the path of surrender or submission, John F. Kennedy.
Well, I like John F. Kennedy. I think him and I could hang out together. I don't know how he feels about mad science laboratories, but, you know, if we can agree on that, then if not, we can sit around and have a really good talk about things in life, because it sounds to me like John F. Kennedy feels like I do. He felt like I do.
Here's another one. I like this one a lot. Tolerance implies no lack of commitment to one's own beliefs. Rather, it condemns the oppression or persecution of others. In other words, to just go along, to get along. In other words, you've got to be willing to stand up and tell the truth, even if it's going to piss some people off, you know?
Yep. And you know, that man was cut down early in life for his beliefs. That man was cut down because he was going to tell the world what should have been told all along. He was going to tell the world things that we sit here and tell the world today. What would it have been like had we'd have been back there and we'd have been standing right beside John F. Kennedy and we would have been backing him all the way? You know, granted, you know, he was the President of the United States, and your chances of you even getting close to him were slim to none, but somebody got close enough to him. They got close enough to him to take away something that was wonderful to this world, and that was him, you know? His beliefs, his ideals, his dreams. He would have made a good knight of the round table, sitting around the table. He probably would have made a better King Shaziz the Terrible than me. But either way, you know, every time we lose somebody, it don't matter who you are or how popular you are, you're standing in the community, you're standing in the world. What matters is how you're standing personally, how you stand in your heart and mind. If you lay down to evil, evil will step on you without even hesitating. Evil will step on you with a smile. And we're not laying down to evil. We're standing up to evil. Even if the jackbooted thugs come and get us, take us away to one of them FEMA camps and chop our head off because we won't renounce our beliefs. So be it. But these words will resonate. They will resonate through the history of time, that all these people here at the Knights of the Round Table, They stood up and they said it. You know, if we had the funds, if we had the resources, we'd be standing in the right place at the right time, and maybe this is the right place at the right time. Because the frequencies that we're putting out, the energy that we're putting out, it's ringing like a bell all over the world. You can hear it. You can see it. The more networks that pile on here, the more people that come in to listen, the more people that say, hey, I believe that way too. We're not looking for a one world government. We're looking for a one world people. We're looking for our freedom and our sovereignty that was promised to us, not by man, but was gifted to us by our Creator. And that's profound, folks. You can't say it any better than that. What we got going on here, we got to keep this ball rolling. We got to keep planting the seeds. Whether it be like Dublin said, guerrilla charity, run by, feed them, and run off, or throw gardens up everywhere. Don't ask for permission. Just do what's in your heart. Do what you know is right, regardless of the consequences. If you're standing on the right side of the fence when judgment comes down, then you're on the right side of the fence. If you're standing on the wrong side of the fence when judgment comes down, then you're on the wrong side of the fence. If you got one leg on each side of the fence, then you're going to get one leg ripped off. That's common sense. You know? What can you say? Does anybody disagree with that?
Nope. There's not much you can say, except for things to yourself.
Well, I hope that this Knights of the Round Table has given everyone out there listening, and even the host, you know, a beacon of hope, or a light at the end of the tunnel, and some motivation, or, you know, something positive that takes them into their next day, you know, towards the right direction. And, you know, since we're coming down to the wire there, it's time to go around and let everybody have their say, you know. It's just, man, we've got an amazing opportunity, folks. We got a lot of amazing, good-hearted, loving souls that have come together underneath this network and all these multiple networks out here. To me, any step in the right direction beats 10 steps back in the wrong direction. So, with that said, you know, who wants to go first? Who wants to tell the world what's on their mind? I mean, we're running short of time, so make it profound.
Here we go. I'll just read one more of John F. Kennedy's words, because it was pretty much what you were saying today. We have the power to make this the best generation of mankind in the history of the world, or to make it the last.
Yep. Well said. What about you, Dieden?
I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create many ripples.
And how, brother? And those,
Mother Teresa.
Those big ripples. If you can throw a pebble in the pond, that's a start. If you got the strength to pick up a boulder and throw a boulder in the pond, you're gonna shake and wake the world, ain't you, Rick and Annie? You're gonna shake them up, and that's what we do. What about you, Mirko? Yeah, has he got his mic off?
Yeah, I think so. We have any call problems?
Well, somebody there was trying to say something and I cut them off. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I think we're all trying to shake and wake everybody. That's why we picked that name. That's what we're here for. And we have no choice. We have to win this. If we don't, there is no future. There is no freedom.
What happened from Tom from Canada?
He had to go and do some work.
Oh, okay, he's out there. He's fighting dragons. What about you? What about you, Mikko? You there yet?
I was listening to something last night really quick. They want to tax us on carbon dioxide and air we breathe.
Yeah. They want to tax the water. They want to tax everything under the sun. Boy.
The air we breathe.
They're going to tax our thoughts before it's all over with.
Yep.
Well, there's one thing they can never tax, truly, and that's our souls.
That's right. And you know what?
We truly are.
They can't tax an idea.
Can't tax an idea. Actually, well, they kind of can, if you let them.
Oh, yeah, they can try.
Yeah, exactly. Hold the patent.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Well, I guess, see, they're finding...
If you talk to those companies to try to get help with a patent, I'm sure they steal it from you.
They're finding every loophole to everything under the sun, so it's our, it's up to us right now. Hey, for every loophole they make, we'll tie a knot. Whatever, you know.
Yeah, I believe we just need to get rid of them all together, you know.
Well, it would be nice...
We don't need the worst criminal, pedophile, Satanist out there making the rules for us and putting us in jail because we know that they're evil.
Well,
we don't need them. They need to be gone. They need to be like put on one of the UFO technology they've been hiding from us and told to leave this planet and don't ever come back or you're dead.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well...
If you ever harm another child or you ever try to do another conspiracy like this again, you know, I mean, we need to arrest them and they need to go to trial.
Put them on a rocket and ship them out into space and let them fend for themselves. I like that plan. Well, either way, guys and gals, thank you very much for listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Once again, it's been an emotional, passionate, exciting, and all that stuff, and thank you, everybody. Thank you to all the Knights of the Round Table and all the listeners and all the people who make these networks possible. And just keep planting the seeds. That's all I can say, you know. And I hope that something we've said here today has got your mind ticking. I hope you do the research and look into the links that everybody gives you and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, don't get paranoid or in fear, because fear is not going to accomplish anything, but actions and words and love, we can conquer the world, and we can conquer it in the right way. So with that said, all the glory goes to my Creator as far as I'm concerned. Peace and love to everybody, and thank you for listening to the Knights of the Round Table.
God bless you.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here.
Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony. Be quiet! But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system. Help, help, I'm being repressed.
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot.
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 It's only a model.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, three dots where we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes to footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Shazam the Terrible! All rise for King Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!